Warner, Hawkeye Wrestling superstar, national finalist this year. Thank you so much for coming on to the show, man. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Awesome to be here.
Right on. My pleasure. So, what year are you in at Iowa?
I finished my fifth year at Iowa on Wednesday. We have finals next week. So, finishing my fifth year, coming back, going to finish grad school, and do a sixth year of wrestling next year. So,
was that decision to come back, because it's because of COVID that you even get this option to be a sixth year anything, was that a tough decision to make, or was it easy for you?
No, it was very easy. We kind of found out that this all was going to happen last year. And when that happened and I was graduating from school, I was like, well, I'm not just going to go to school. You know, I'm going to take classes that I need to take, you know. So kind of made sense to get into grad school, finish my master's, and then grad school takes roughly 2 years. So coming back was pretty much just like a no-brainer. Like, that was just the next step in the process. Not even like a second thought about it, really.
So what's your major then?
My undergrad's in finance. I'm getting my master's in business analytics.
Sick, dude. Okay, so what do you plan to do in the business world after your wrestling career is over?
I have no idea.
So, are you kidding me?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how long I'm going to wrestle, stuff like that, right. Where I want to live. You know, eventually I think I want to leave Iowa. Not like leave Iowa, leave Iowa, try something new, maybe move south, you know, live somewhere different eventually. I don't want to spend my whole life in one town, you know, so I want to experience some different stuff. And if that means I'm having a career in wrestling or something like that, coaching or whatever, or I'm in the business world, one of the two, I'm not really, I don't think that far ahead, so.
Sure. Yeah. So I had Josh Albron recently, and I asked him what his major was at UNI, and he said something along the lines of, well, I majored in wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, he went there for athletic something or other, but he said he didn't really care about that. He was there to wrestle. Is that the case with you, or are you relatively actually interested in finance and business?
I am interested in business. My mom's a high school business teacher, so I've kind of always been around it my whole life, you know? So going into college, I didn't know if wrestling was going to pan out. You know, you never know. I could have got injured right away, and then I'm like, oh, I have this degree that's not really useful, you know. So I wanted to make sure I got a degree I can use something in, and that gives me enough opportunity to do something in life. So that was kind of the plan, and obviously wrestling's more of the focus. But
sure, what kind of student were you? Just curious.
In high school or college?
Both, I guess. I shouldn't say were. Are you?
So in high school, growing up, elementary school, high school, all that. My parents like required us to get A's. Me and my sister. So we had to get straight A's. If we got a B, they were not too happy about it, because they were always big on, like, you're going to get into school because your grades. You know, we're not going to let you rely on something like just athletics. You know, my sisters don't even play sports in college. So, and then in college, I'm a 3.0 student. I haven't gotten below a 3.0 yet, knock on wood. I think I'm 4 years academic All-American. So I take school serious. I think all people should. But that's my own opinion.
Well, that's like the brand's philosophy, isn't it? Isn't it like graduate something and do it right?
Graduate and do it right. So
that's right.
That's the athletic like facilities like motto. Actually, wrestling, we just won, I think for the fourth year in a row, highest male team GPA.
Are you kidding me?
At Iowa, yeah. So we had never won that till my second year in college, my first year in the lineup. We had never won. We were actually at the bottom. We used to average like a 2.6 or something like that GPA. And then within like the last year since Tom's gotten there, we averaged like a 2 or a 3.28 or something like that. So, yeah.
Wow.
We just found out Monday so that we won again.
Well, hey, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
What is the culture like in that room? There was a time back in the earlier 2000s where you looked at Iowa like they're savages, they're brutes, you know, no fun. And I know one of your coaches, Tom or Terry, probably both of them, kind of try to poke fun at that idea. Say, no, we have fun here, but what's it really like in that room?
Tom definitely pokes fun at it more than Terry, I think. We have some recruits in town today, and I was kind of talking to them, and they asked me, like, what's Tom and Terry like in the room? Because I kind of always imagine them just yelling the whole time and all that type of stuff. And me and Abe Assad's my roommate, and we're like, no, like, that's not it at all. Like, they're super fun. They're down-to-earth guys. They actually have a great sense of humor. It's just like, sometimes, like, when you first meet him, it kind of catches you off guard, and I think people aren't used to that. I have a great relationship with both, and I think that's part of the reason why our culture's getting better is because we're not stuck in that, like, oh, 90s Iowa, they're all robots, you know, stuff like that. Like, we like that fun. Like, Tom and Terry like that fun. So, and our team is really close. We do really well together as a team, so...
Yeah, it's funny because you're right. You guys look like you have fun, and there's actually funny people on the team. You're wearing a Max Murin shirt. That guy's funny. Like, he's actually funny, and is he not your roommate? He's just a friend.
Max is not my roommate. So Max actually used to live right above me for a few years, and it was like a house that was split in half, top and bottom. So he used to live right above me, and I'm still really close with Max, and we've never actually lived together, but he's one of my best friends, and he's super funny. He's always looking to make jokes, skits, stuff like that. He lives with Michael Kemmer, who is like very intelligent, and he's super witty. So like he'll make out like witty, funny comments, and it gets a good laugh. So
some high level comedy.
Yeah.
So before we dive into college, which we're definitely going to do, I want to talk about your high school career. And you know, there's interesting things because Tolono is right down the street, and that's where you live, but you wrestled at Washington. Tell me about all that. What was your high school career kind of like in that regard?
So before I like talk about that, I'd probably have to talk about like my middle school, like club and stuff like that.
Go ahead.
That kind of like is what leads into it. So in middle school, I wrestled for the Champaign Kids Club under Merle Ingersoll. So, and we weren't like a great club, but one thing that was like big in that program was like, we may not be the best wrestlers, but we're not going to get tired. We used to run stairs and suicides and every day. And so that's kind of how I started getting better at wrestling. And it wasn't until like my 7th, 8th grade year where I started really having success and stuff. And Tolono Unity, they didn't have a great program, right? So I remember, I wasn't there. I was wrestling at the time. But when I won my second state title in 8th grade, my mom looked over at my dad and was like, yeah, you got to take him somewhere else. Like, if he really wants to do this, he's not going to do it at Tolono Unity. No disrespect to them.
Right.
They're great school. It's turned around a lot. Their program's turned around a lot. And so I basically quit all other sports. I played every sport growing up. Didn't really like all of them, so any other ones. Football was okay, you know. But wrestling was like, I was going to go all in on wrestling. And I had like this goal of, this is kind of crazy. My goal was just to be on a Division I program's team. Like, that was my goal, like going into high school. Just be on the team, like back up, whatever. So my dad and I decided to move to Washington. My dad got transferred for work to like Peoria area. We rented an apartment all 4 years in Washington. So my dad and I rented an apartment. I lived in Washington 24/7, besides on the weekends. On the weekends that I had free, that I wasn't wrestling, I would go back home to Tolono and visit my mom and sisters. Because my mom actually taught at the high school, still does, teaches at the high school I was supposed to go to. And shared a classroom with the former wrestling coach before Logan Patton. So like, I left Unity. My sister still went to Unity. So I just rented an apartment. And by the time graduation was done, all I had was a mattress and a bag of clothes. My dad was like, we're getting out of here. I'm going back to be with my wife and daughters. Like,
wait, your parents were still married during that whole time?
Yeah, they're married.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, so they're married. So yeah, that's what catches people off. So like, my mom was like, you got to take them somewhere else. So my dad had to get legal guardianship of me. We had to do all this big deal in court. I had to go to court so we could get like legal guardianship of me. More so, he was the primary guardian over my mom of me. So he could then take me to Washington, and then he had to get transferred for work to that area. So then that was part of it too. So yeah, so then we moved to Washington and lived there in an apartment for 4 years.
Dang, man, that's really crazy. I had no idea that you spent your entire high school career in an apartment.
Yeah.
With your dad and just your dad. You were separate from... That's tough, man.
Yeah, it's hard. So I didn't see my mom and sisters for sometimes like months at a time. Like when it was in the heat of wrestling, the only time I would see them is if they were able to come to a meet. But it's an hour and a half drive to Washington. My mom teaches. My sisters at the time were in sports, you know, extracurricular activities. So like, they couldn't just get away willy-nilly and drive an hour and a half there, hour and a half back in a night, you know? So I didn't see them all the time, which was hard, I think, on my mom. Probably harder on my mom and sisters than me because I was older and I was always busy, and I'm kind of an independent person. But I'm super, super thankful for them because not very many families do that.
Dude, no, it seems like your parents were just massively supportive. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, what was their support like for you? And did you know that you had such a high level of support at the time? Looking back, or were you kind of like, eh, you know, you didn't really think of it?
No, I knew. I've always had great support from my parents when it came to like what I wanted to do in life. And that goes for me and my sisters. Anytime we wanted to do something, my parents were like, yeah, let's do it. You know, my dad had me in private wrestling lessons with guys. He would drive me all over the country growing up to wrestle. Like, we'd go down to Tulsa and out to Virginia Beach and Michigan and wherever. Because when I was younger, I wasn't very good. I mean, I was good for the area, but like, I wasn't on the grand scheme of things very good. So if I wrestled close to home, my dad would make me wrestle up into the next age group. So I would be like, and I was a bigger kid because I was kind of taller. I wasn't like super chunky or anything, but I was just a big kid. So I was like fifth grade weighing 108 pounds wrestling. I was not 10 years old wrestling 12, 13 year olds that were 108 pounds who are more mature, stuff like that. So, he'd want me to lose, really. And he'll tell you that. So it was like a great support system, as like, he wanted to push me and get me the best competition, the best resources, best as possible. And then like, when it comes to like, support now, like, cause obviously they're not involved in like my wrestling career anymore. Like, it's just like, I can always go back and talk to them and kind of clear my mind about anything.
How do you think your dad programmed you so that you could get beaten up and lose and not quit? Did you ever want to quit? That's two questions in one. My bad.
So probably how he made that is he never let us win it. He never let us beat him in anything.
So like
I would like tic-tac-toe, I'd start bawling because he wouldn't let me win. And my mom's like, you just need to let him win. He's 4 years old. My dad's like, nope, I'm not letting him win. Cause as soon as I let him win, he's going to hold it over my head. So that kind of like instilled like the competitiveness in me. And I never really wanted to quit. There'd be times where I would lose a match. I'd be like, I'm quitting. I can't take this anymore. And my dad's like, oh, you really want to quit? And then like 15 minutes later, when I calm down, I go, no, I'm just mad. You know, I used to kind of have like a little anger problem when I lost, and I still do, but I hide it a lot better. I hide it till I'm in the private area. So
very interesting. I got a few questions there, but so your dad didn't let you lose or didn't let you win hardly anything when it came to competitions between the two of you. Do you think that was, I mean, it turned out to be a good thing for you, but are you going to do the same thing with your kids if you have kids?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I want kids and I will 100% do the same thing. And if they don't like it, then they can learn to win. Like, that's kind of how I was taught, you know. And I talked to a lot of my teammates, and that's how like kind of they were brought up too. So it's kind of instilled early that like, if you don't like the way things are going, you got to change it yourself. You know, it's not all about participation when it's something like that, you know.
I tell you what, dude. So I've recently been talking to a lot of different wrestlers. I talked to Josh Alber, I talked to Dan Gable, and now I'm talking to you, and it's really refreshing to hear this type of person talk, the type of person that you are talk, because you're saying it is okay to be tough on your kids. And society, at least the majority, I shouldn't say the majority, there's a large chunk of society that's really loudly proclaiming that you should do things like let your kids win, that you should do things like, you know, participation trophies, be nice, self-love, all these like, you know, nice and soft and fuzzy things. And it's really cool to hear someone say what deep down a lot of people like myself know is true, and that's that you can be tough on your kids, and you should be tough on your kids.
Yeah, absolutely. My parents were tough on me. If we were out of line, we were getting spanked when we got home, you know. It's funny, actually. So my mom's a teacher at that high school. She actually taught sixth grade keyboarding, so she taught me in sixth grade. And I remember, like, I backtalked my mom one time in class, you know, and my dad met me at the door and was like, you're never going to do that to my wife and your mother again. And I was like, yep, like, you know, like, that's like, it's like in the moment I was like scared out of my pants, but like now it's like, yeah, he taught me how to be respectful, you know. And like, that's the harsh reality that I think people need to realize today, is that being harsh on your kids and stuff is going to teach them more in the long run than giving them okay, like, it's passes that it's okay and stuff like that.
That's completely true. I mean, I've read a good chunk of psychology books, you know. I listen to Jordan Peterson a lot. I listen to all sorts of people talk about child development, and you're right. To put it simply, I think, anyway, you're right. And if someone disagrees with that, leave it in the comments. Explain yourself. But no, yeah, man, you got a good head on your shoulders. It seems like, how old are you, 22 or 23?
23.
23. Okay. Yep. Do you, personal question here, do you have a girlfriend?
I do, yes.
Right on.
So we've been dating for a few years now. We don't really keep track, to be honest, but a while. So.
Dang, you met her at Iowa?
In the dorms, freshman year, first week.
Wow, that's sweet. I hope she watches this. That's nice. But...
yeah, she probably will. Or her dad will, for sure. So, Tom, hey.
Well, okay, so in high school, just curious, you know, you were living in Tolono, you went to Washington. Was there any controversy there? Surely the wrestling coach at Tolono was like, dang, we wanted Jake.
Not as much with him, or like parents in the community, other coaches of other sports. I was pretty good at football, stuff like that, so a lot of people wanted me to stay back and play football for them, and they had a great football program. They took second in state when I was a junior, so they obviously wanted me to stay back and wrestle and play for them, football for them. But yeah, we got a lot of backlash for a long time because that was kind of like unheard of. Moving your kids for academics is okay, but not for sports. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that was why we were like, okay, it's kind of hypocritical. But it wasn't until I started having success where people were like, eyes were open. They're like, okay, maybe they did make the right decision. You know, maybe they do know what they're doing and it is okay. And now you see that a lot more in Central Illinois where kids are moving. And I personally think that's okay, because I don't understand why you wouldn't want to put your kids in the best opportunity possible, if that makes sense. And that's kind of how my parents thought of it. So
what was that Washington room like? Was it a significant difference from other high schools? I mean, granted, you weren't in other high school practices for the most part, but was Washington practice different?
Yeah, it was just like a different mindset. Medlin, my high school coach, he held us to a very high standard, right? And we were constantly working out. And if we slipped up, he let us know we were slipping up. And I think that's why Washington was so good, and they still are good, is because they're held to a much higher standard. And it's guys like, and Washington wasn't great when I first got there. They had never won a state title. They had never made it to team state, actually. My freshman year was our first year making it to team state. And it's kind of like, the reason why Washington wrestling is good is kind of in the forgotten wrestlers, the guys that are forgotten about that didn't place at state, but you know, they trained their balls off. Mm-hmm. I can think of like Lane Weaver, Strubar, Kyle Stratton, Brad Holmes. And then you're going to go into guys that had a little more success. Colin Carr, he kind of taught me how to like train hard, you know, like, cause I worked harder than anybody that I knew growing up in wrestling. But then I got there and he taught me like, there's a whole nother level to this now that you're in high school. Like, you got to train way harder. Then you got guys like Jake Adina and stuff like that. And it's like, there's a whole other stepping stone, and Washington wrestling like really kind of taught me that.
How did you push yourself? How hard did you work in high school? And what did this guy teach you, the car guy?
Colin, Colin was a state... he kind of taught me that it didn't like really matter how talented you were, because he wasn't a super talented guy. He wasn't super athletic. He was actually a short, chubby kid that I think took fourth in JV conference as a sophomore and then took second at state as a junior.
And this is the guy that's teaching you how to work hard.
Yeah, this is like my practice partner. You know, he's our 182-pounder senior state champ, and I'm the 160-pound freshman.
Oh, he was a state champ. Okay,
yeah, so he was a state champ. So he ended up getting good, but he didn't start off good. You know what I mean? Like, that was like the hard work that was like instilled in our program. And there's countless guys in that program that didn't have success right away. Like, Trey Keeley started wrestling as a freshman in high school, won the Fargo National Tournament as a sophomore, second at state as a junior, and then a four-year starter at Brown. Like, Tyler Delaware didn't start as a freshman, won state as a sophomore. Ethan Real didn't start as a freshman, takes second at state as a sophomore. It's like, people like that hard work isn't being seen, you know, because we got shut doors, nobody's watching us practice, but then it's paying off later. And it's from a small town in Central Illinois.
Holy smokes, man. That is an impressive track record. Who's the same coach that you had? Is he the same head coach now?
No. So Brian Medlin was my head coach, and he taught me a lot in wrestling in high school and stuff like that. And I'm still super close to him. He actually coaches the RTC at Illinois now. Nick Miller is the head coach at Washington. He was our assistant coach at the time, and he's a genius mind too. He doesn't get enough credit for what he did, and he's been there for 15 years, probably over that, 20 years. I don't know how long he's been at Washington, but it's been a long time. So those two are credited for a lot of my success in high school.
Newsflash, no one likes being injured or being in pain. And if you're suffering from joint or muscle pain or recovering from a sports injury or a recent surgery, Ultra Physical Therapy in downtown Lexington, Illinois is here to help. They are a locally owned physical therapy company that can treat everyone from the star cheerleader to the farmer getting ready for harvest, to the professional office worker, to the grandmother who wants to be able to play with her grandchildren. The therapists at Ultra Physical Therapy have a combined 25 years of experience and are trained in cutting-edge interventions, including dry needling, blood flow restriction training, cupping, and the use of massage and joint manipulation. They are also skilled in developing exercise and rehabilitation programs to get you back to doing all the things that you love to do. So free yourself from those aches and pains that are slowing you down and give them a call at 309-365-2500 to schedule an appointment or just to ask questions.
Come to Ultra Physical Therapy in Lexington and we'll keep you moving.
You guys ever get into like fist fights or anything in high school? I mean, it's rare for high school kids to ever be swinging. You see that in college all the time when they're really serious, really competitive. Josh Albers said that they would come to blows sometimes in high school at Dakota.
Yes, there were fights and stuff like that. I remember sometimes like when we would have beef, I would like not even with my wrestling partner, maybe it was like somebody off the side, I'd just be like, hey, I'll be right back. And I'd just go punch him right quick in the stomach and it'd be over stuff.
No
you know?
Way.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't like we had a lot of beef or stuff. My high school teammates were my best friends in high school, you know? So I was the new kid. So, like, my high school teammates, those were, like, my best friends. Like, really my only friends in high school till I got to, like, be a senior, junior, senior and start opening up more. But we would do this thing called the alpha male drill. And it probably wasn't great, but basically, it was like for 1 minute, it was like anything goes. And we weren't like swinging punches, giving each other blade nose, but it was more intense hand fighting than normal. And we would put guys up against the wall and like shove them in the corner. And it'd be like for 1 minute. And once the 1 minute was done, it was over. And we were good to go. You know, it wasn't like we were swinging punches trying to kill people, but it was just like for that 1 minute, like it was hand fighting a little bit harder than normal, you know, stuff like that. So, and I think that kind of got a lot of our frustrations out as a team. And I think it taught us to be tough, you know.
It taught you to have that slight bit of killer instinct, yeah. Maybe. You don't see that in high school. I see kids that aren't living up to their potential in wrestling because they just can't, I don't know what to call it, cross that border into that mean style of wrestling, you know? They don't want to club them with all they got, maybe. They don't want to slam them a little harder.
Yeah.
You know, this Iowa style type of thing. And it's really, really cool to hear that your coach, did your coach watch this? He's like, all right, Alpha
Male. We kind of did it in the off season a little bit more when it was just us, you know? Okay. I don't know if he really had much to say, but it wasn't like we were like all out brawling. It's just like, hey, like, this is a minute you can get a little bit grittier, you know, maybe a harder club, you know, a harder underhooked where maybe you get him with your shoulder a little bit, something like that. We weren't being dirty or anything right. Like that, but it was just, and I mean, he probably knew about it. I mean, what coach doesn't know what goes on in his team? I don't know. But yeah, it was just something that us kids did that really like let out anger, let out that meanness that we needed to have. And it wasn't like we did it every week. Like it was like once a year, you know, so. Mm.
What about in the Iowa room now? You ever seen people come to blows there?
Yeah, I mean, we have punches thrown. I think punches were more thrown back in the day than they are now in our room. Every once in a while, like a punch will be thrown because it's a very personable sport, right? It's everything I put into it. I'm better at wrestling than 99% of the population are at something that they do, you know? So like I take great pride in it. So when that's not going my way, I might get frustrated. And a lot of time when like a swing's thrown, and this is kind of like the stigma of Tom and Terry goes away. Like a lot of people think like Tom and Terry would be like all for it. They're right. So against it. Like a punch gets thrown and Tom's like, you just got thrown out of the tournament. You're out of nationals. Like all this stuff. Like, you know, cause like if you lose your cool on the wrestling mat in a match, you're done. Like you're missing this meet and probably two more. And if it's at the wrong time of year, you're out for nationals. So,
right.
We don't have a lot of punches thrown in our room, mostly because Tom and Terry preach like what you train in the room is what's going to happen outside of the room. So if you're training that you're going to start throwing punches in the room, you're not going to have that mental capacity to like hold that in on the mat. So
right,
we don't
exactly.
See punches as thrown as much as probably they used to every once in a while, obviously, but it's not like full out brawl. So it'll be like, hey, like there'll be a little altercation for 10 seconds and then they go back to wrestling.
So was it always a foregone conclusion that you were going to go to Iowa, or was that a decision that you made your senior year at Washington?
That was my senior year. I remember sitting down, Medlin came over to my house in Solano. We had like, long talk, you know, with my family about what would be best situation for each school, you know. So I took all my visits. I went on visits to Minnesota, Ohio State, Purdue, Iowa and Arizona State. And then obviously I looked at Illinois, but Illinois is in my backyard. I didn't need to take a full official visit there. I knew everything that they had. You know, I grew up there. So I took all my visits. Iowa, that was the order of the visits I went. So Iowa was my fourth visit. And I remember Tom walked my dad and I out, and he's like, so how do you feel about this place? Like, what do you feel like? And I remember biting my tongue as hard as I could, because I was like, in my mind, I was like, I'm coming here. Like, I'm like, it's just a foregone conclusion. Like, I know I'm going to come here. Maybe I didn't want to say that out loud. I wasn't ready for it, but I knew it deep down. But I was going to Arizona State the next week on Halloween weekend. So I was like, I kind of want to go see what Arizona State's about, because they kind of came in later to the recruiting process. So I wanted to go see that. And then probably like a week or two after Arizona State, I committed to Iowa. So, and it was match made heavy. I love my time there.
What about Iowa? Why'd you choose Iowa over Arizona State and in the other places?
You know, I think a lot of it is culture, and that's like cliche to say, but it was just one that I fit in really well in, and I meshed well with the guys, and I knew I liked the way Tom and Terry spoke, because that's how Medlin, my high school coach, spoke. Like, they're stern talkers, you know, they expected a lot out of me, and a lot out of the team. They want to win, and that like kind of drove me to go there. And a lot of the guys, Sammy Brooks was my host, who was my weight, well, not my weight, he was an 84 pounder before me, but like, he was a guy that had pretty good success, so like, I knew he was going to stay there. And it just kind of, and who wouldn't want to wrestle in front of 13,000 fans on average? You know, that's the average, that's the average amount of people we have. And then you go to like other schools and they have 500. So it was just like, this is like a no brainer situation. You know, I'm going to come here and I'm going to get the best coaching. I'm going to get the best partners. I'm going to wrestle in the best atmosphere. And I got along with the guys great. The guys older than me, like, we all meshed well. So that's why I was like, when he asked me, I was like, I'm going to come here, but I was like biting my tongue.
Yeah. Well, so what was your introduction to that when you did commit and then you showed up at school? What was that introduction like to the Hawkeye wrestling program? Did you get the crap kicked out of you?
Yeah. I mean, I've had my fair share of bad practices, right? Like, not every practice is going to be great. Sammy Brooks has definitely had his way with me a few times. You know, Nathan Burak has. I'm pretty sure the first practice like I had was with Alex Meyer, who is a one-time All-American at 174. So a little bit below me. And I got like maybe the first four takedowns, you know, and then he got one takedown and he got about 30 after that. So, and I was puking in the trash can, like my first practice. And I was like, man, like I was doing good. I was taking him down, but I couldn't last. You know, I could have like 3 minutes in me, but then college, I was like, man, I got to have a lot more than that. So, a lot of it was a rough, but good step I had to take in turn. So,
Man, that's good. So how long did it take you to crack the actual lineup? I remember watching you wrestle Nelson Brands at the Midlands, if I remember correctly. Maybe that wasn't you. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like you had to, I saw you wrestle Iowa guys, I want to say more than once. So I assume those were something like a wrestle off.
It wasn't Nelson. It was Cash Wilkie. So Cash was a 97 pounder my red shirt year. I actually beat Cash in the wrestle off, and then he beat me in the Midlands finals or Midlands semis. Cash is one of my best friends, and we joke about it now. So I think I had a takedown that got taken away and then went into overtime, and he took me down in overtime fair and square. And he likes to joke that he actually pinned me technically in overtime, because when I got taken down, I just kind of rolled to my back and was like, no, and the ref went down and smacked the mat. So I'm like, Cash is like, yeah, man, you gave me the takedown you wanted to put on for the team. You know, we needed the team points, all that stuff. But yeah, so I wrestled Cash my first year at Iowa at Midlands, and I took the semi-slide after that. I was so distraught. I went, lost to Cash, lost to Christian Bruner, lost to Patrick Brucky, sixth place. And it was probably like the worst day of wrestling in my life at the time, because like, I remember going up to my dad crying. I go, have I gotten worse? Have I gotten worse? And all this stuff, because like, I had never lost to them before. So it was just like, it's a rude wake up call. It was a rude wake up call to how tough college wrestling is. But yeah, I cracked the lineup my first year out of red shirt. So Cash went down to 84. I went up to 97, and that's how it went.
Man, though, I like that you can laugh about it now, but that sounds like a dark day. Given how competitive you are, to lose three in a row, that had to hurt bad.
Yeah, three in a row to guys who I'd never lost to before. So like, that was like pretty brutal and tough. So I was in a really dark place. I remember I was like still crying going onto the mat after losing to Cash, you know, and it is what it is. Like now I can look back and laugh at Cash and my family, like, so I haven't had great success at Midlands, and my parents, my mom and sisters like to make fun of me for it. Not in like a mean way, but they'll like make little jabs and like, they're like, oh, Midlands, like that just isn't your place, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, screw you guys. Like I'm going to figure it out like eventually. And that's like, they're teasing me, you know, they fully believe in me obviously, but like, it's just like a little dig to get me going a little bit. So,
yeah.
Midlands, not my favorite tournament, but
does that motivate you when people kind of tease you about that type of stuff? What motivates Jake Warner?
That only motivates me if I'm close to you. If I'm not close to you and you start teasing me, I get very pissed off, and I'm not very comfortable talking about certain things with like random people, like matches and stuff like that. And the problem is a lot of times, you know, I'm not saying like I'm famous or anything, but like I'm well known in Iowa City, you know, in Iowa, in the wrestling world. So like people come up to me and start asking me questions about matches and all that. And I'm just like, dude, like I'm here with like some friends. Like, I don't want to talk about this right now. Like, you're going to piss me off like if we keep talking about it. But what motivates me is just like, I'm competitive, you know. I want to be the best I can be. Like, I want to, like I said, I just wanted to be on an NCAA roster. Like, I just wanted to be on a D1 roster. And then in that time, like now I wanted to be a 4-time national champ, still not a national champ yet. Got one more year. And so that like is what drives me. Like, I want to win the national title. You know, I want to be that guy.
Right. Well, let's talk about that. It seems like you can talk about rough days relatively easily, which is a sign that you're kind of over. You got good mental health, I guess. But and maybe you're not over this, but what were your feelings? What are your feelings about your national finals match this year against Max Dean? It was a close one, man.
I hide it well. I'm not going to get into the technical aspects of it because obviously I've actually never watched the match. I probably never will. I was talking to Michael Kemmer. He's never watched his finals match and probably never will. It's just like something that like, I don't want to bring that back into my life, you know, and relive that. Cause I have analyzed that match 1,000 times. Like I know what I should have done at each moment of that match. What was the turning point? Like what I, like literally at every moment. And you know, and it sucks cause I had a good national tournament. I was a 6th seed, beat a guy in the quarters that had beaten me 3 times in a row, Eric Schultz, who's a great competitor, Illinois guy, and he had beat me 3 years in a row, you know. And then I go and beat Buchanan, who's the number 2 seed in the semis in a close match, you know. And I was figuring out some confidence issues during the national tournament, which is kind of crazy to say. Like, I remember I had a kind of a rough Big Tens, and I was really down on myself and brutal. And I was asking Terry, I was like, do I have what it takes? Like, do I have what it takes to win the national title? I specifically remember asking him, do I have what it takes to win a big match? Because I didn't know, because I hadn't won Big Tens. I hadn't won, like, I lost again in the Penn State meet, you know? And it was like, and then I got to nationals, you know, and my head, like, wasn't perfect. But I was so confident in my ability, and that even though I still had doubts, like, I knew I could win the national tournament. And it was just like, everything in the past was like not important anymore. So like going into that match and everything after, like, I know I can win the national tournament. I know I've been there. I mean, there's a reason why I'm a 3-time All-American, right? I've lost to the national champ by 1 the last 2 years. So it's not like a lack of like, oh, he doesn't have it in him. It's just like, I got to figure out a way to get on top of that podium. I got to figure out a way to win that match against Max Dean when there's 45 seconds left and tied 1-1. And you know, and I've analyzed everything in it, and I could get technical, but obviously I'll hold that back a little bit. But
sure. Yeah. Well, I want to be respectful now because I don't want to ask you too deep of questions.
No,
or anything,
you're good.
But I do want to ask, what do you think is that thing that you, and maybe you don't want to answer because you don't want to make it public, but you know that you have to figure out a way. What does that entail? How do you get to the top of the podium? What was maybe a big hurdle that you're comfortable in saying that you're going to fix this coming year? You know, you don't have to go into the match, the technicalities.
No, yeah.
But
just not panicking, I think, is the biggest thing. I think in the finals and in some other matches this year, I kind of wrestled the situation or the moment rather than wrestle the match, if that makes sense, you know. Kind of get wrapped up in too much stuff. So the biggest thing for me is just, as long as I can focus on what I'm doing and not get flustered and stay on track. You know, if I start to sway, bring it back, you know, and mentally. And I know I have the physical capabilities to win the national. I know I have the physical capabilities in wrestling mind to beat anybody. It's just like I have to implement it.
Right, right. What's your pre-match ritual, or what are the coaches saying to you before your matches?
So it's kind of different for everybody. So like, we kind of look at it as an arousal state. There's a lot of research done about how aroused you want to be before a competition. On a scale of like 1 to 10, some people might need to be an 8, 9, 10. You know, they got to be really hyped. Me, personally, I need to be like relaxed, calm. The more calm I am, the better I wrestle. If I start to get worked up, and that's what I'm kind of talking about with wrestling, like the situation or moment, more than actual wrestling the match, my heart starts beating faster. I don't think clearly as well. So I just... Pre-match, you know, I'm just kind of relaxed, moving, get my body hot, but my mind's clear. Not getting involved in matches before me, you know. Sometimes I have a pretty bad problem of I love my team. Obviously, I want them to win, and I get too involved in their matches. And I shouldn't do that because I trust my team. I shouldn't have to be involved in their matches to know that they're going to do what they need to do, you know. And that's probably my pre-match ritual, is just staying calm and getting ready.
And what are the coaches saying to you?
Wrestle your match, you know, stay in your match, do what you need to do. They're big on, like, they know everybody needs different stuff, and Tom and Terry are a lot different wrestlers than I am now, you know, and they're great about knowing what I need, and they're constantly coming back going, hey, you need anything, like, and I could ask them literally probably anything in the world, and they would do. I could ask him to run naked downtown and back, and I will win this match, and they'd be like, yep, on it, I'm out of here, you know. They would do anything for me, and I think that kind of, like, reinsures that, like, hey, just stay calm. Do what you got to do. You know your coaches have your back. You know your team has your back. You know they're going to love you regardless. So just stay calm and do what you got to do and do what you do best.
So it seems like that's a big thing with the brands is and Morningstar. It's like they care about their athletes like crazy. That's Gable, too. I just talked to Gable, and he cared about his athletes almost to a fault.
Yep.
Is it evident to you as an athlete for the Iowa Hawkeyes that your coaches love you?
Yeah, absolutely. Every night, probably multiple times a day, but I know every night between Big Tens and National, Terry Brands would send me a text. And it'd be different every time, you know, just that you have what it in your, what's it going to take, or nutrition is going to be it, weight control, stuff like that. You know, he's taking time out of, at like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night when he should probably be in bed, and we should be in bed. He's texting us saying, hey, remember this. Like, we're thinking about you, you know, and it's crazy because that's why, like, I couldn't go anywhere else. Like, I couldn't go anywhere else or talk bad about this program because I owe so much to them. And it's like, what am I going to say bad about? If I don't win a national title, it's not going to be because of them. It's going to be because of me, because I didn't get it done, you know? And that's why I love this program so much, is because they care to a fault. They care maybe too much sometimes, to where maybe it hurts them in the long run. I don't know. It's not, I hope I don't hurt them eventually. So, and I don't plan on it, but yeah.
Right on. Well, what you mentioned nutrition. I'm just curious. I want to go back a little bit to the finals match, but what is your nutrition like? What is your daily life like? Outside of wrestling, how does Jake Warner live?
Dave's Supermarket in Fairbury has been wowing customers throughout Central Illinois with their unmatched customer service, delectable deli market, beloved grocery carryout service, and many other fortes, which is why they've earned hundreds of five-star reviews online. Dave's Third Street Deli has plenty of seating and is a destination place to meet your family and friends for good food, fun, and fellowship. Not only is their homestyle fried chicken here the best around, but you can also enjoy free coffee and 50-cent ice cream every single day. And be sure to check out their Old World Bakery while you're here, where freshly baked goods are prepared every morning. You'll find hundreds of unique and signature items here at Dave's that you won't find anywhere else, like their famous potato salad, ham loaf, and canned meats, just to name a few. Dave's Supermarket is open Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. and offers online shopping and curbside services. Come experience this revered location that puts the super in supermarket when you shop at Dave's in Fairbury, Illinois, wowing the customer for over 70 years.
You know, during season, I'm really strict. I don't drink alcohol during season. I am probably less strict than a lot of my teammates because I don't cut as much weight as some of them. So, like, you know, if I want to go get a burger and fries, like, I'll go get – actually, I probably do it every Monday during season. I go to this restaurant called Stella's and get a burger and fries with my teammates, some of my teammates.
And shout out to Stella's.
Yeah, Stella's. Great burgers. Burger deal on Mondays. But so I go there, and like on Mondays, I'll get a burger and fry. Like, I don't care. If I want a cookie, like, I get a cookie. The way I kind of look at it is, if a cookie is going to derail me from winning a national title, I'm doing a lot of other things wrong in whatever. Like, I'm doing more things wrong than just eating a cookie. So, like, as long as, like, my diet is relatively healthy, you know, I'm not eating candy every night. Like, I actually don't eat candy really at all. But, like, I'm not drinking soda. I'm not drinking beer. I'm not doing anything like that. But, burger and fries, or I'll go get Chipotle or something like that. You know, like, I'm not super strict with what I eat. As long as it's relatively healthy and it makes me feel good, then I'm okay with it.
And then what's the brand's policy on partying? You know, how you live? Because you're in college. You're going to go to parties. And if you don't, I mean, I'll be amazed. But, like, you have to go to some parties.
Yeah, I do. I go out, I party, I live a relatively normal college life, not to the extent of other people, you know, and like to the common person. But Tom and Terry, if you're 21 years old and I want to have a beer while I'm doing this podcast, I'll have a beer. It's not that big of a deal. Obviously, like I said, I don't drink during season. I don't go out during season, stuff like that. I quit doing that in like September, and I don't go out all the time. It's not like I'm partying 7 days a week, you know, like. But if I want to go out with some friends, or I go grab food and have maybe a couple too many beers and I go back home after, it's not a big deal. There's a right time and place, and that's kind of what they instill. Right. And if you're legal age and it's the right time and place and you're getting it done in the wrestling room, it's okay. Now, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough, right? So, like, if I'm going to go out and do all this stuff, I still have to put the work in the room. If I'm not putting the work in the room and I'm doing this, that's where it's like, oh, you need to get your priorities straight, you know. But if I'm still doing everything right, you know, I'm working out, I'm working hard, stuff like that. But then maybe one night I want to go have some friend, go out with some friends or something like that. It's not that big of a deal, you know. It's right. I know I'm doing the other things right.
If that and you makes might sense. Be worse off if you don't go do those things as a release, as a stress reliever, as a thing to have some fun, you know, get the chemicals in your brain back in action, back at the right levels. If you didn't do that and you just suffered, I shouldn't say suffered, but you just practiced and worked really, really hard, it might wind up breaking you in some important way that could hinder you en route to a national title. Just my thinking. What do I know? But
no, I think the same thing. I think that's actually like, and I've had talks with like some of my close friends about this. And I think like maybe that's why I do well in wrestling, is because I look at it and I take wrestling very serious, but I take it in a maybe a little bit more lighthearted way than some of my teammates. Like there's multiple teammates that don't drink, don't party, anything like that. And that's fine. Like, they want to do that, that's fine. They don't judge me for having beer. They know I do, and I don't judge them for not. But I think one thing that I think helps me is it is a release. You know, I can calm down and it relaxes me. I can have some fun and like look at wrestling in more of like a lighthearted, I'm having fun way, rather than taking it serious 24/7 to where I'm like psyching myself out. You know what I mean? Right. There are other things in life other than wrestling, which maybe I shouldn't say, you know, because obviously I have spent a lot of my time wrestling and stuff, and but I don't know, I'm not gonna wrestle my whole life. I can't wrestle my whole life. I have to enjoy other things. I want to experience everything in life, you know what I mean? So yeah. I don't want to limit myself to that, but I can't do that in excess to where it hinders my wrestling. And there's a happy medium in finding that, and if you find that happy medium, you're okay. And Tom and Terry and I'm very open with that with them. And the one thing about them is they don't like liars. Like, if you lie to Tom and Terry about going out and doing that stuff, that's where you're going to get in trouble more so with them than being like, hey, owning up, be like, yeah, I did this last night. Like, I didn't get in trouble. I didn't get in trouble with the cops or anything, but yeah, I went out and had some beers with my friends. And they're going to be like, yeah, all right. Like, cool. Now you're in here at 8 o'clock working out, you know, getting work in. It's like, that's the difference, if that makes sense.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Have you ever gotten in trouble with them before? Have they ever been like, Jake?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah. So we have like this freshman, when I was a freshman in the dorm, so there was six of us in the dorms, seven, Connor Corbin too, but he didn't live in Hillcrest with us. So there was six of us: Zach Axmier, Aaron Costello, Max Muir, and Miles Wilson, Spencer Lee, and me. Spencer and I are roommates. And it was like maybe a week and a half after season ended our freshman year. We all redshirted besides Spencer. He just won the national title. And like, obviously we're college kids, right? We went out and stuff like that. And some of, I did not drink during season, even my freshman year. I did once, actually, Big Ten's weekend. And when Big Ten's were in Michigan State, I went on a party bus and had a couple. But I was of age, maybe. But
continue.
Yeah, but so Tom, like, texts us at, like, 8:30, and he goes, come to Carver. And we're like, oh, so, like, we're going to have – they used to have, like, freshman workouts where they go in later in the day, and the freshmen would work out, like, late at night, you know? And so we're like, oh, we're going to have a freshman workout. Like, no big deal. Like, we're going to go put some work in, you know? Great. And Tom pulled us into his office and reamed us so bad for, like, messing around, like, towards the end of the season and going out and fucking up and shit. And, like, when I say reamed, I mean we were all – pissing our pants, like, what is going on? Because we, like, were kind of blindsided to it, because none of us had gotten in trouble with the cops or anything like that. Like, we hadn't gotten in trouble. We were just, like, we were fucking up under the radar, if that makes sense. So Tom called us in and, like, chewed all of our asses, Spencer Lee's included.
No.
And Spencer was like, Spencer doesn't drink, doesn't do anything. So Spencer was so innocent, it's unreal. And then us five were like, yeah, I mean, we probably deserve this. Like, yeah. And he made a sign the back of an envelope, and it was like, this is the freshman leadership group. You guys are fucking around. You're going to tell me, blah, blah, blah. You sign this piece of paper so I know I can trust you, all this stuff. And he still has the envelope. It's in his desk because he told me this, like, in the fall. He's like, oh, yeah, I still have it, and, like, pulls it out. And I was like, so we had, like, this freshman leadership group to where, like, if we were effing off, like, we had to go tell him and, like, be like, hey, like, so, like, yeah, I've had my fair share of, like, ass reamings. Less now, though, because now that I'm of 21, you know, and I'm a lot closer with Tom and Terry, and I'm a lot more honest with them. When you're 18 years old, you're scared. Like, I was scared shitless of Tom, you know? It's like, when he asked you a question and you didn't want to tell him the answer, like, you might lie. I personally never lied. I've never lied to Tom. I've always been honest with him, and I think that's why Tom and I have a great relationship. But I partially understand why people might lie, because it's scary, you know? It's an authority figure asking you questions that you don't want to tell the answer to, and you think you can hide it from them. And Tom knows everything. So anybody that watches it, Tom knows everything. He knows it before you even do it. Like, we used to joke around and say, like, Tom had our dorms bugged. Like, he's like, there's bugs in here. We would be like watching behind our back, like, what we're saying. Like, even if it wasn't even bad, we'd be like, Tom's listening. Like, he's got our phones bugged. He's got everything bugged, because he knows everything. And once you realize that and you quit lying to him, man, he's awesome. Like, as long as you're upfront with him, he's so upfront with you. And I think that's why people give him a bad rep, is because it's the people that weren't honest with him that talk bad about the program after.
Wow, man. Have you ever seen someone, don't name them, but have you ever seen try to sneak one by?
Oh, yeah. Constantly. Yeah. I mean, it happens all the time. You know, they're young kids, and it's not like it just happens in our program. You know, it happens in every program of all time. You know, Alabama football, it happens. Clemson football, it happens. Texas A&M baseball, you know, it happens. Like, people get in trouble. We're kids. We fuck up. You know, it happens, you know? So, but if you're on, like, and there have been people that try to sneak it by, and Tom, sometimes he plays it different every time. Sometimes he might go along with it for a couple of days to see if you own up to it, or maybe he doesn't mention it right away, but then he always knows.
Do these guys play, like, mental games almost? It seems like they're calculated. They're strategizing how they're going to be interacting with these athletes and the questions they'll ask, when they'll ask, and how
they
they'll
are,
frame
yeah.
the questions.
And I think that's part of the game. And I think part of the reason why they do it is they want to figure out what type of person you are, and they want to try to make you the best man you can be. Like, there's kids on our team that might never see the lineup, but if they know they can make them a better person, then they know they did a good job. You know, they're not all about wrestling. They're not all about, oh, you have to win a national title or you're dead to us, which I think they get a bad rap for. Like, they care so much about people on our team that will never see the lineup, who are maybe mentors in a different way, maybe mentors in school, maybe mentors in how they live their life outside of wrestling, you know, like that, or leaders, I should say, not mentors, leaderships in how they handle school, how they handle themselves outside of wrestling. And I think that is why they do a great job, is because they care about you to a fault, even outside of wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Who's the crazier one between Tom and Terry, would you say? Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't say crazy. I really should watch what I say, but I mean, it's like, that's what they're known for. You're saying the stigma's kind of changing, but who's more intense?
The whole stigma of them, like, crazy, like, out of this world, that's just whatever. I mean, maybe they were when they were wrestling when they were 20 years old. You know, I don't know. I wasn't around there.
In the 20s.
I almost did, yeah. No, they're not that old. I think they're 53, 54. No, but I think Terry's crazier. I think that's kind of like the unanimous like agreement is that Terry's a little crazier. And I think that has to do with maybe he didn't accomplish what he wanted in wrestling. Obviously, he only won 2 national titles. Tom won 3. Now he didn't win the Olympics while Tom did. And it's like, I think that maybe like there's wires in Terry's brain where like he didn't accomplish that. So he wants us to accomplish it so much more. And I'm not saying Tom doesn't want us to accomplish it, obviously. But I think Tom actually describes it as if they were wrestling, Terry's more stubborn. So Tom, like, you know, he's in a position, we'll say freestyle, he's going to give up the push out and give up the 1. Terry's going to go all in and try to get the 4, right? Because he's like more stubborn and stuff like that. And he is a little crazier in that mindset. But yeah, I think Terry's a little bit crazier.
Yeah. And exactly like what you were saying, Terry has a hunger that was left unquenched in him that Tom doesn't have. So it would...
I wouldn't say Tom doesn't have that because Tom still talks about random ass matches that he lost that I didn't even know he lost to. Like, he's still bitter about losing in the Big Tens, like, as like a sophomore or something. And then he won the national title. Like, so like, Tom's still bitter about wrestling in matches that like... you wouldn't like even remember. Like, nobody remembers Tom Brands losing in the Big Tens. I didn't even know he lost until like I look at the Big Ten versus national or national champ boards and it's like, oh, Tom's missing a Big Ten title when he has a national championship title. So it's like Tom is still like bitter about matches, obviously. Not bitter, but like hungry. Like, he's still like, they still sit with him. Terry just might have a little bit more.
When I talk to these guys, or when I talk to Dan, for example, and I hear you talking about Tom and Terry, Dan has a picture of himself getting second place on the podium, you know, when he lost to Larry Owens. And it's like in the corner in some weird spot in his basement. And he's still very salty about it. Like, he'll bring it up all the time and it still hurts. Tom and Terry, their losses still hurt them. Do your losses still hurt you, aside from the obvious recent one?
Yeah, I do want to mention that you say that about Gable having a photo. Terry has never looked at his bronze medal.
Is that true?
Yes, 100% true.
His bronze medal from the Olympics.
He's never looked at it. When they handed it to him, he like turned, like he didn't like look at it. Yeah, he hasn't looked at it. And I don't even know if he knows where it is. So I think him and Spencer actually had an agreement deal that if Spencer won 4 national titles, he had to look at it. Like, and I think it was 4. And so he might be looking at it soon, probably.
Wow. You're giving us some juicy inside info.
He's never looked at his bronze medal as far as I know. And yeah, that's a true story. And I used to live with Nelson Brands and he vouches for it too. So, but for me, matches, yeah, I mean, I have matches that stick with me. Obviously, I didn't win 4 state titles, right? I only won 3. So my finals match at state still sits with me deep.
Who was that loss to?
Garrett Sutton from Richmond Burton. And he was a senior, really good at wrestling. And I actually wrestled him really well. Looking back, I am proud of the way I wrestled. So it's just like, oh, I didn't win 4. That's the biggest thing. But I'm happy how the match went, you know, and what happened after. But yeah, Big Tens. I have a lot of Big Tens matches. Obviously, Max Dean, Ferrari, those matches, stuff like that sit with me hard. The matches I lost to Schultz sit with me. Midland sits with me. Like, I take losses very serious. And I know probably every loss that I've had dating back to like 6th grade. And the only reason I don't know more than that is because that's when I lost a lot. So I can't remember all of them because I used to lose a ton. So
right now, okay, so I wanted to talk about your finals match a little bit, but you just mentioned a name that I kind of want to ask about. It's AJ Ferrari. That guy's, he is a social media titan in the wrestling world right now, and it's very interesting to watch. What are your thoughts on that guy? Everyone likes to talk about him. So what are your thoughts? He's in your weight class. I mean, I personally, I'm a fan of yours. I think you're the better wrestler, but what do you think about all that?
I don't talk about him a lot because I don't want to say something that I shouldn't say. You know, I don't want to start beef, anything like that. So I tend to just avoid the conversation totally.
Very smart.
I will say after I lost to him at Nationals 2 years ago, like I had a lot of I had probably like 50 DMs of people like all like rubbing it in that I lost. And like,
no way, really?
Yeah. And people would like tag me in his posts and stuff like that. And it's just like I don't, like it'd be like some random guy, you know, like some random like 50-year-old dude would be like, oh, you suck. Like, I'm so happy you lost. And I'm like, okay, dude, like, congrats, like, whatever. So, like, I don't care what he does on social media, but whatever. Like, what he has his own brand, you know? Like, he's got a brand that he's got to, like, put out there, you know? And what he does doesn't matter. I choose not to look at it personally. I choose to kind of avoid talking about it just out of respect to him, because I'm not going to talk bad about what he does just because out of spite that I lost to him, if that makes sense.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. I shouldn't have even asked a question.
No,
you know?
It's all good.
You know what? You handled it really well.
Fairbury Furniture is Central Illinois' premier furniture store. This family-owned business offers a vast selection of premium furniture items from all of your favorite brands, including Sealy, Best Home Furnishings, Leather Italia, Tempur-Pedic, and Ashley, just to name a few. And right next door to their gorgeous 7,000-square-foot furniture showroom, you will find the Fairbury Furniture Mattress Store, home to all of the latest and greatest mattresses in any and all sizes. So make your home interior beautiful, comfortable, stylish, and delightful when you shop at Fairbury's own Fairbury Furniture.
Come on down to Fairbury Furniture, where the furniture rocks.
And now I kind of want to segue back into, well, the national finals. And I know it stings. It was not that long ago at all. And I want to ask, what was your reaction to that after the match, if you're willing to even talk about it? Like, how, what did you do after?
I remember walking back to the tunnel, and Telford had his arm around me, and where my corner was right by the Iowa section, you know, and I tried not to look up at him as best as I could, because I knew as soon as I looked, I was already trying to hold back tears as best as I could, because I didn't want to cry in public. But I knew I could hear, like, my family, hear my best friends and everybody, like, yelling down at me, like, it's okay, like, we still love you, blah, blah, like, not blah, 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 but, like, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Because I don't want to make it sound like it wasn't meaningful. And I remember Telford, like, holding me by the shoulder saying, keep your head up, look strong through this. So I just kept a straight face as best as I could. I mean, yeah, I was starting to tear up, and walked back to my corner and back into there, and I broke down pretty good. You know, I take losses hard, and how many people can say they've lost the biggest match of their life? Ugh. You know what I mean? Like, that's the biggest match of my life, and I lost it. And I remember going back, and I was hiding behind the bleachers for a little bit, and like a little dark corner, just bawling and. Yeah, it was hard, and I broke down to Tom, and I broke down to Terry, and my teammates came up and held me, you know, and I remember out Marinelli, who had a heartbreaking nationals too, and he just kind of came up and held me and just kind of told me it was all going to be okay, and luckily I have guys on the team. Not luckily, I do not want to say that, but I have guys on the team that have experienced that, and I'm thankful that I could go to them and talk to them about it, like Marinelli, who had a heartbreak, like Ironman, like Kemmer, you know, and I was able to talk to them a little bit. I obviously wish they would have won with all my heart, but I was thankful that they were able to kind of like talk me through some stuff and be there, and my family was there for me. And it was really bad. I mean, I was in a very deep place. I still am in a deep place, and like I hide it well, but like there's going to be demons for the rest of my life. I think unless I win the national title next year, there will always be demons in me. Like, that it'll just, it's like a part of you got ripped out and it's never going to be fulfilled.
Right. That's what it feels like, to want something so bad and to do everything you need to do to get it done, to put in so, to sacrifice so much for a thing and have it not pan out the way it should have. It's heartbreaking in the truest sense. It's not fair in a way, right? Like, it is fair, but it sure seems not fair. And I just think it takes a wrestler to kind of understand that, you know? I bet some people have said crazy things to you like, hey, man, you should be happy you got there. Like,
it's,
you know,
oh, it's bad, man. And it's like, oh, you had a great run. Like, you should be so proud. And it's like, I was on the phone with Aaron Costello like a while back or something. And I just go, they don't understand. Like, people don't understand. Like, and they never will, because they've never been that close to something that big that they worked that hard for and missed. You know, a lot of people go through life and just kind of go through the motions. And like, I made it a clear effort. Like, I had a goal, you know, and I didn't get that. And people don't get that. And they don't understand that, like, it's like when you lose somebody, like, I'm not trying to say it's like death, like compare a national title to like losing a mother or a sister or brother or something, but it's like, well, what am I going to go up to you and say, you lost somebody and go, oh, I'm so sorry. I feel for you. Like, I understand your pain. Like, I don't understand. Like, that's your own pain that like you feel. And like, I feel my own pain for that match and for my disappointments in wrestling. And it's like, they don't get that and they never will. And I'm not going to judge them for not understanding that. It's just like, sometimes like they start talking to me and I'm like, yeah, I need to get out of here. Like, I don't want to talk about this. Like, does that make sense?
Oh, it makes so much sense, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been in a D1 room, let alone lost something of the magnitude that you suffered a loss in. But I remember even in high school, like, I was silly saying this to you, but like, four-time state qualifier and the goal is to win maybe multiple times. He never wins. It's like, holy smokes. Well, this hurts. Your senior year, your last match, you lose. Yeah. And then people are like, hey, you should be proud of yourself. Like, smiling while they're saying it. It's like, I almost want to swing at you. Like, are you nuts? How could you say something like that?
Yeah. And it's like,
and again, that's state in high school. That's not even, you know, the D1 national finals.
Yeah. And it's, I'm lucky. Like, I have a family, and I was like, I was in a very like deep place, you know, and I have a family and a support system that really supported me. And I mean, there's still times where like I break down crying, you know, like about it, like not to sound like a pussy or anything like that, but like I do, you know, it's
no
like,
one thinks you're that,
but like, I remember like one time I went out with my friends after season and I had to like call my girlfriend to come pick me up, 'cause I was like crying while I was out. And I was like, you need to pick me up. Like, I'm not like doing well. I just bawled the whole way home, you know, like, and like my dad and I are very close, and he doesn't have anything to do with my wrestling as far as technique wise, but just like talking me through stuff. And he kind of got me to look at it more of like a thankful way and like be thankful for like being in that position and, you know, stuff like that, be like proud of myself. Like, I'm not a very proudful person. Like, I don't probably give myself kudos enough. Maybe, I like to try to be as humble as possible, and I try not to like even talk about my successes in wrestling a lot of times. And he kind of was like, hey, you need to know, like, you did good and stuff like that. And like, talking to him and some other people, like, it kind of like helped me like realize like there was good in that tournament. Like, I didn't end up the way I wanted to, and I know exactly why. And I know exactly why I didn't. And it's just like, but there's other good that came out of it too.
First of all, I want to say you probably have a pretty decent girlfriend if she's willing to come pick you up like that out of nowhere. That's a good one.
Yeah, I think she was supposed to work the next day and called off work to come pick me up or something like that. So,
oh, man.
Yep.
Dang.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. And like you're saying, I mean, no one understands. I've had my dad, I've seen my dad on his fridge. He has like this list from a magazine. It's like things to not say at a funeral. And one of them is, I understand your pain, or I feel your pain. No, you don't. You never do. Especially something as rare as being in the Division I National Finals in wrestling. No one understands. Virtually no one in the world understands that feeling. But I'm curious what you're going to say here. What would you want someone to say if they're going to say anything? If you even want them to say anything.
I almost just wouldn't want them to say anything. Like, not even like, on, like, I get like, I don't like, I'm a personal person. Like, you can come up, talk to me. I'll talk to you about anything. Like, I'm an open book. And I think that's part, like I said earlier, kind of like talking about how I am more relaxed with wrestling. I think that is a benefit to me, that I can not shrug things off, but talk about other things and like be okay and hide stuff down, deep down. But, I don't know if I have that answer, because I think everybody's different. For me personally, unless I'm close to you and like I have confided in you about this type of stuff, like, I don't know if I would necessarily want you to even like say, oh, like, you should be proud of yourself or anything like that. Just be like, hey, I watched you, great run, I like, big fan, walk away. That's it. Like, don't try to elaborate, be like, oh, you should be so proud, or you like, we were right there or something like that. Just be like, no, hey, nice to meet you. Off we go. Mm-hmm.
Well, everyone, take note.
Yeah, you know, take note.
You heard it here first. You're going to probably have some people walking up to you in Iowa City like, hey, good run. And like, walking away, just like you said.
Yeah. I get, like, if I was somebody else, I would want to come up and say hi too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was, especially when I was a kid, right? I didn't grow up an Iowa wrestling fan. Obviously, I'm from Champaign, so, like, I grew up an Illinois wrestling fan, so, like, I would want to go up to them if they had something like that too, you know? And so I don't blame, like, people for not knowing what to say. Like, at a funeral, you know, you don't blame them. You don't do anything. Sure. It just is what it is.
Sure, but you'd rather them not say a dumb thing.
Yes.
Right.
Everybody would.
Right. Well, hey, as we're getting towards the end of this thing, looking towards the next season, what are your feelings about the next season? Just a big general question. What are you feeling? What are you thinking?
I feel, like, for myself, I feel good. You know, I felt good going into every season. I mean, I know, like, I'm right there. I know I can win the national tournament. I know I'm going to have a tough road to win the national tournament. But as far as a team aspect, it's going to be interesting. You know, we have 5 seniors gone. So DeSanto's gone, Young's gone, Marinelli's gone, Kemmer's gone, and Ironman's gone. So that's 5 guys out of the lineup. So we're going to have 5 fresh new faces. It's going to be exciting because I'm going to be excited to see what they can do. You know, obviously, I think we have a team that can win the national title when we wrestle to our full potential. And I think maybe this year we were a little banged up, didn't wrestle to our full what we knew we could. And we lost to Penn State by 40-something points, you know, which is a lot of ground to make up. But I'm excited to see what these young guys can do.
What is the Iowa feeling towards Penn State? Because that's a rivalry, right? People that are Iowa wrestling fans probably hate Penn State more than any other team.
Yeah, Penn State and Okie State, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, we don't like them. I respect the guys on the team. It's not like I don't like the guys on the team, necessarily. I just don't like Penn State, you know? But, like, I know Aaron Brooks. I've talked to Maxime before. I've known Roman Bravo Young since high school, you know? Like, I know they're good people. Like, I'm not doubting that, but I just don't like Penn State, so sure, I'm going to root against them, you know, and I want to beat them. And I think there's nothing wrong with that, you know. And I think maybe, honestly, like we were talking earlier about, like, oh, the whole soft culture, maybe people lose sight of that there is inner beef, you know. It's like us and Iowa State, like, we're going to have beef. It's in-state rivals. Us and Penn State, we're going to have beef. It's in-state rivals. It doesn't mean you can't respect the other person and know that they're a good person outside of wrestling, you know what I mean? So, obviously, we want to beat them. And they did it right this year. They won the national title, so I can't talk shit to them, you know? Like, they won the national title. We got 40-something points to make up. So, and we're going to have to figure out a way to do that. And I don't know how it's going to be done as far as, like, what different things is going to be the difference, but we're turning over all the stones, you know, trying to figure it out.
Right. And what was that? What happened in the Iowa State meet at the end? You know, there's that mini scuffle. I never really got an answer to that. I just watched it. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But
you're asking the wrong dude, because I had lost my match and was in the back room crying. So I didn't know anything happened until, like, we were getting on the bus. Like, I heard stuff out there, but I was, like, so, like, zoned in on, like, I just lost. Like, and I was, like, finishing. I was, like, working. I was, like, doing stuff, working out and stuff like that after my match, like, trying to get over it. And, like, and then, like, I hear all this ruffling and I'm like, whatever, like, I could care less. Like, I'm so, like, distraught with myself about how I wrestled that match. And it's just like, then, like, I get on the bus and, like, oh yeah, we almost, like, we fought Iowa State. And I'm like, what? Like, what? Like, I had no idea what happened. So you're asking the wrong dude. I wasn't there. Apparently there was people saying stuff, someone pushed somebody, blah blah blah. I mean, I literally have no idea.
Yeah. And you talked about briefly those, what was it, 5 or 6 seniors that they didn't have the tournament go their way this year. That's got to be hard. You know, you talk about how much you love these guys and how tight you all are. What was the general feel in the room after they, you know, ended their careers on a sour note?
It's tough. I mean, you have guys like Young and Marinelli. I mean, really all of them, none of them were a national champ. None of them finished how they wanted to. And Young and Ironman didn't even end up on the podium. So I know that hurts them. And I'm not saying, like, didn't even as in a bad way. Like, they just, national tournament's hard, man. Like, like, there's guys that win the national tournament that don't place the next year. It's happened. Like, or take 8th. Austin O'Connor took 8th this year. He had an injury. But, like, David Carr, like, almost didn't place. Like, it happens. It is a tough tournament. And, like, people forget how tough it is, I think. And, like, they go, oh, like, we had such and such for 4 years. Like, Marinelli, he wins 4 Big Ten titles, can't win a national title. Like, dude, shut up. Like, you don't know anything that goes into winning a national title. You don't know anything about the type of person Alex Marinelli is and how awesome he is and grateful that I have him on my team, you know? And it's...
That guy seems incredible, by the way.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's an awesome dude. His wife, Mariah, is our director of ops. She's fucking awesome. Like, you can't say anything bad about him, you know? And it's like... Yeah, I wanted him to win a national title. Yeah, I wanted Michael Kemmer to win a national title because they're some of my best friends and they work so dang hard and it sucks. I mean, that's the only thing you can say is it sucks. And it sucks, but you got to like not – I – what did I say? What did – Terry asked me something in the room the other day and he goes – like he was giving us this long speech about something and he goes, Warner, what are your final thoughts? Like final thought, he gave us like a long like 15-minute like pre-practice speech. I go – and a lot of it was like how to like live and like – overcome those disappointments. I go, you got to learn to live with it. And he goes, but there's a difference between learning and accepting it. Like, I don't have to accept defeat, but I have to at least learn from it, if that makes sense, and learn how to live with it. Which just sounds difficult. You're like, oh, you should accept the loss and like move on. But like, you don't have to accept the loss necessarily. Like, you have to recognize that it happened, but I don't have to be satisfied with it and like be okay with it. And you just have to learn to live from it and learn how to like move, like take what you got from it and apply it.
Say the line one more time, because I think that was actually kind of profound.
You have to learn how to live with it, but you don't have to accept it. So
to learn how to live with it, but you don't have to accept it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, you can take it how you want to take it. Like, everybody's going to take that different. For me, I took it as I have to learn how to live with my loss in the national finals, but I don't have to accept that that's a part of me. I accept that that's okay. Accept that that's going to derail me from the future, just stuff like that. But I have to learn from it and, like, move on.
And it's like, that's also not necessarily how you are. That's not just, I'm the second best. It's not necessarily like that. You know, you don't have to accept defeat. You can say, I got defeated.
Yep.
And then turn right around and do something different. It's like, it's not a part of you.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly. So,
I like that.
Yeah. So that's kind of something that stuck with me. And, obviously like Marinelli and all them are going to have to learn to live with it. And that sucks. And whatever they go on to do in life, I know they're going to absolutely kill it because that's the type of human beings they are.
So. Right, man. Right. Well, hey, we're getting towards the end of this thing. I have a few random questions for you. First one, who's the best practice partner on your team for you?
I'm going to have to go with Cash Wilkie. Back when he was on the team, me and Cash were warm-up partners, just flowed well, drilled well, wrestled well together. So I'm going to give it to Cash.
All right. What's the last time you lost your temper? In the wrestling room, in a meet, in a tournament, anytime. I should say when you lost your temper and you were like, whoa, that was maybe too far.
I'm trying to think. It was one of the matches I lost. I think it was at, I'm trying to remember all the matches I lost. I think it was probably Big Ten was the last time I lost my temper. I lost the same kid twice. And the kid and I don't really like each other. So it's just like, we just bad blood against each other. And I remember yelling at Terry and I wasn't like yelling at him to like fight with him, but I was like yelling at him to express myself. And I remember after I was like, hey, like I'm sorry for like doing that. And I don't even know. It might not have been Big Tens. It might've been something, another me. It might've been when I lost to Schultz in Nebraska, actually, now that I think about it. I definitely lost my temper at Big Tens though. But as far as like letting myself go, I didn't like make a fool of myself, but like getting broke down a little bit. But I remember telling Terry, like expressing myself to Terry, kind of yelling at him a little bit, but not fighting with him. So I don't want to say yelling as in like fighting. Like I was expressing my emotions like loudly and like verbally. And I remember going up to him after. I was like, hey, like, I'm sorry for like talking to you like that. And he goes, no, like, I want you to talk to me like that. I want to learn how you feel so we can figure out together how to move past this. He's like, I wasn't yelling at him being disrespectful towards him. And maybe I thought I was cause I was yelling, but it was more like I was yelling about my emotions and trying to get my emotions across. And afterwards I felt bad cause I thought maybe I was disrespectful to him. And he goes, no, you weren't disrespectful. Like, you were owning your own faults and I'm your coach and I'm here to help you move past that. And
what a coach, man.
Yeah, like a lot of coaches get pissed off, you know, right, they start yelling back and Terry's like, he like, because he gets it. I think Like he didn't win the Olympics, you know, stuff like that. And I think he gets that frustration. So that's why he was like, hey, like, it's okay. Like, we're like, I want you to talk to me about how you feel like that so we can figure out how to win.
Right. Yeah, that's really cool. Dang, I didn't know the question was going to get that type of an answer. And Terry, if you're watching this, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you or Tom, whichever one, equal, you know. But a few more questions here. Austin DeSanto, I feel like a schmuck for even asking this. You probably get this type of thing sometimes. Austin DeSanto, what's that guy like off the mat? What's he like in practice? I'd love to get him on, but something tells me I'd never get him to agree to come onto a podcast.
He probably wouldn't answer your call. If try calling Austin DeSanto, you might as well just walk over to his apartment, bang on his door, and get a hold of him. DeSanto's awesome. Like, he has this stigma of, like, he's a hard ass, he's an asshole, like all this. Dude, he is so down to earth and like a normal kid that like people like don't understand. Like, he could come on this podcast and talk to you and be fine, and like maybe he'd be a little uncomfortable or whatever, but like he can do that. And like, he is so like, he holds himself to such a high standard and accountability. And like, I think that's why he's grown so much since being at Iowa compared to like his time at Drexel. He is like the epitome of like a guy that like knew what was wrong, and I'm going to fix it, and I'm going to become the best person I can be. And he's awesome, and he brings like a different type of energy to the wrestling room, and like, it's hard to match. You know, I like, sometimes I watch him do stuff and I'm like, I don't know how he can do that. Like, my body's like feeling like terrible. We've had three hard days in a row and he's like running 5 more miles, and I'm like, dude, like, he brings a different intensity to the room and his work ethic, and that's why he is such a great dude to have on the team and have around the program.
Man, dude. Holy smokes. Well, best moment in your wrestling career, and then we'll wrap this darn thing up.
I can probably think of like two. Probably winning in the semis this year. I mean, that was an awesome feeling. I just remember thinking like yes, like you're on it. Like, you got this. And like, it was such a feeling of satisfaction, and it was great to feel that. And I was talking to my girlfriend about this. I want to know your opinion. Do you think, like, I don't know if you've won a big match and felt like that. Like, not many people like feel that type of euphoria. And do you think like musicians feel that? Like, cause we were at the Justin Bieber concert and I was like, do you think like Justin Bieber feels some type of way that I felt like as excited and euphoric as like I did in the semis? Like, do you think it's similar?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, you can measure the brain chemicals. And so I have a book by the world-renowned best neurologist in the world, Carl Dicerroth. I listen to a lot of Andrew Huberman. So it's just a matter of neurochemistry, really. And you can kind of pretty much understand what someone feels based on the levels of things like serotonin, although serotonin is not in there. It's more adrenaline and dopamine.
Yeah.
Dopamine's like, you did it. You're on the... That's the feeling you get. Dopamine's it's the feeling that, hey, you're doing it right and you're on the right track. That's what people die for. Like, they love that feeling.
Yeah.
And so if Justin Bieber's nailing song after song and the crowd's going crazy, it's like, I'm freaking doing it.
Yeah.
I imagine it's similar with a little less aggression. You know?
Probably, because he has to keep it for a longer period of time maybe compared to like mine. Mine's for 10 minutes after my match. But back to what we were saying, yeah, definitely my semis win, and then probably the win against Penn State when I was a sophomore, so... That would have been the year Nationals got canceled because of COVID when we beat them at home. So those would probably be like my two like biggest moments in wrestling. And I'm probably forgetting some that I just don't remember. Like, maybe the seventh grade state finals is actually a big one for me. I still have the DVD. It still fires me up to this day. So,
wow, man. Well, hey, before we wrap everything up, is there anything you want to say? Anyone you want to thank? Maybe, I mean, this is your first podcast as far as I know. People are going to watch this. Anything you want to say to anyone?
I just want to say thanks for having me, man. I had a great time. Obviously, I want to say thanks to my coaches and teammates for really like not giving me the opportunity, but like helping me get there, you know, and then my family for being such a great support system and stuff like that. So, but thanks for having me. I had a great time.
Dude, hey, it was my pleasure. You're really good at this. Something tells me that you're going to be on more podcasts in the future. But man, you're a great teammate. You talk so well about these guys. You're a great family member. You're a nice guy, dude. You talk well about your girlfriend even. So really, it's been an honor talking to you, and I can't wait to watch you next season. You got a big fan right here, man. So again, I appreciate the time a lot.
Yeah, thank you. And I encourage everybody to come to an IR wrestling meet. So if you've never been to a wrestling meet before, I think Iowa Hawkeye meets the one to go to. I think it's a different experience. So I hope this encourages people to get into wrestling and maybe come to an Iowa meet, maybe turn some, I mean, we're in Central Illinois, turn some Illinois fans into Hawkeye fans. So,
dude, heck yeah. I tell you what, there's a lot of Hawkeye wrestling fans in Illinois for sure. But yeah. Jake Warner, man, hey.
Yeah, thank you.
Really appreciate the time.
Thank you.
All righty, that's a wrap.